Well, I appreciate you, Pastor. I really thank the Lord for our acquaintance. And back through the years of studying the Word of God, it's such a blessing to meet up with him. I love when preachers get into that book. I enjoyed the lesson this morning because I told him, I said, I've dealt with Genesis in times gone by, but I said, I didn't look at it in the practical way that you did. I said, I like that. I really like it. But I blessed the Lord for the acquaintance. I used to go up years ago in the North Wilkesboro. I believe that's where it was, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
And I was always afraid it was going to snow when I got there. I tell you what, I love the snow, but I don't know if it loves me. I'm kind of afraid of it. We started up here, and we got way up in there, close to Nashville, the other side of Nashville. And it started to mist and snow for about an hour. I said, "Dear God, you got to help us here." You know, and when we got on up here close to Kentucky line, it was sunshine.
Amen.
I said, that was real great. But I appreciate you, Pastor. I appreciate Brother Hall. He's not able to be here today. And his wife is sick. We're praying for them.
Yes.
The Lord will meet the needs in their life. I want you to pray for my son. I've got a son named Samuel. He's got MS. And he's been in a lot of pain with it. And he's having to deal with it. He's at a clinic now. So pray for him. And I've got a brother that's got cancer. It's going to be operated on this month. But I appreciate what the Lord has blessed me with to let me have my children.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for them. Well, I appreciate these young men of God. Sooner or later, we'll be passing off the scene. You know, preachers, Brother Allen and I sit together. I come in on Monday. I said, I'm going to sit over here this week. And I sat down and I looked over there and he said, come here.
Yeah.
So I sit with him this week. What time he was able to come. He's got kidney stones. Pray for Brother Sammy. And his whole stomach is raw. He's just got a world of problems. And so you remember Brother Sammy in prayer. I looked at that. I was looking at all the missionaries. I love to do that. I love this church. I love you people, but I love this mission board. I love just seeing these missionaries everywhere.
Amen.
It thrills me.
Amen.
And I know that this church is surviving because of these missionaries.
That's right.
And I know some of them personally. I was with Brother David Parks this week, and I know some of them. I know Brother Herbert, and I've been around with a lot of the... A lot of the men that are there, but I don't know them all. But I'm grateful that this church is a mission-minded church.
Amen.
I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5 today. And I want to read a portion of Scripture. You know, the Lord helps us when we're not smart enough to deal with things ourselves. I picked up a bunch of notebooks. I say a bunch, it was probably about four or five of them. And three or four of them had stuff in it concerning Psalm 23. And that's what I was going to preach on last week. That's what I did. But I picked this book up, and I picked this notebook up, and I thought I was picking up something that I was going to use there. Years ago, I don't know how many years ago, 10, 12 years ago, the Lord let me write this message down. I've never preached it. And the Holy Ghost told me, said, look into that book. And when I did, I saw what God had given me years ago.
Amen.
So I'm going to attempt to preach this message. I'm not a long-winded person anymore. I used to be. Used to be bad. But I'm grateful to God for everything He's done.
Amen.
Verse 1, chapter number 5. We're talking about the priest, the office of the high priest. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. I praise the Lord for the priestly work. Our Lord fits so high above all of them that did.
Amen.
Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. They had to come before God. They was very wearisome situation for them, but they had to be clean before the Lord.
Yes.
But here's what verse 4 says. No man taketh this honor unto himself. And I realize that we're talking about the priesthood. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Father, we thank you for the word of God.
Yes.
And we thank you for the calls of God. We thank you for the blessing that you blessed us with as we studied the word of the Lord. And we count it an honor that you would let me and Brother Shepherd, people like us, preach the word. Thank you for any other preacher that's here today. I pray that you bless the men of God to be strong. Thank you for these young men that you've raised up to be a great honor to us. And we realize, Lord, that you've been so good, and I appreciate what you've done for us. And help us that we never look on these pages of truth, that we don't realize that we have no honor outside of you. Bless now and take care of us. Help us to bring the message that will help the people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'm going to turn over here and read one more passage of scripture as well. In the 10th chapter of Romans, it's a very common, a well-used, and I'm thankful for it. But he said in verse number, I'm going to read verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is what the scriptures is talking about pertaining to salvation, how blessed it is that people can be saved. All right, but verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And then it said, and how shall they hear without a preacher? God has got to provide us with the man of God.
Amen.
How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. And as I look at this today, I want to say to you that there is no way in the world that we can operate without the call of God. I want to talk to you a little bit about the servants of the Lord. And my mind hits, so many areas when you get to thinking about this, but I'll try to stay off or everything, stay right here with the notes here. But years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart about it. Amos was a poor herdsman. I was having a lot of confrontation with God about why he wanted me to preach. He talked about truth is falling in the streets.
Yeah.
I looked at Isaiah, and he said, "The Lord said unto me with a strong hand." He's put his hand upon me.
Amen.
Henry Ward Beecher. I don't know this man. He was in a lecture with the students of Yale. And here's what he said. He said, "God stands at the door of the womb of nature and calls men to birth." I thought that was the strangest thing I'd ever heard. Jeremiah said he was called really from his mother's womb.
Right.
John, when you read your Bible there at the time of the birth of Jesus, he shouted. And they shouted in the presence of Jesus, both of them. Men of God were sometimes called, and I tried to write down some things the Holy Spirit gave me years ago. Messengers, watchmen, workmen, witnesses, teachers, pastors, shepherds. I tried to deal with that some last week. Evangelists, ministers, stewards, prophets, ambassadors, so many different, but the titles. Oh, we don't need to worry about the fact God knows. You see, here's what Hebrews is telling us. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God. He that is called of God. No ambassador appoints himself to represent a country at a foreign court. He is invited by kings and emperors. So a man must wait for God's call to preach. How shall they preach except they be sent?
Yep.
God has to put his all upon, and that's what I fear. I love your preacher and I love men of God. That's, you can tell when they're talking to you that the oil of God is upon their ministry. I'm thankful for it. But oh, I was reading somewhere back when I was doing this, and some man wrote this. He said, "God wants no soft-palmed, lily-fingered sons of pleasure to harrow for him."
Amen.
I said, I got to write that down. He called fishermen.
Yep.
He called brawny, muscular, you know, pulling oars of fierce Strongs and Gennesaret. He got in there and pulled them out of that and put them in the ministry.
Amen.
After naming Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, after naming 23 incredible experiences, he said, beside those things. He said the care of the churches.
Amen.
That's what was in his heart.
That's right.
The care of the people of God. That's what a pastor has to have.
Amen.
Is care for the people of God. And you sensed it like I sensed it this morning for the concern that the man of God has to have. He has to have it.
Yes.
To be able to carry the work of God. It's a burden of the ministry. God handpicks his men.
Amen.
I believe that so much.
Yes,
the compulsion,
sir,
of God is not only, calling is not only thing. They're men of faith. I don't have time to read a lot of the scriptures, but I want to leave behind what the message was. The wonder, really the wind of God is upon men that know God.
Amen.
Really, to preach this precious book, it's just filled up with all that just keeps bringing to the preacher, keeps giving the preachers. Can't live on the edge of miracles. Men of meditation. Joseph, they call Joseph the dreamer. The dreamer's coming.
Yep.
You gotta be concerned about the fact that Joseph had a heart for God.
Amen.
Most times, about 40 minutes, 1 hour, it'll take about that much time, but they get dull ears to hear, to listen to the Spirit of God. They bring really, it's just like a death message to a lot of people. They can't hardly deal with it. But no man can preach his oratory to draw crowds to himself, rather to Christ. Even if not a great man, and God uses us, it's beyond us that He does.
Yes, sir.
But even if we're not great men, I was a poor child, really raised that way, but the preachers preach great matters. They don't have to be great men. Now, Dr. Seitler made this statement. He said that God can take a crooked stick, a crooked stick, and draw a straight line with it.
Amen.
Now, that is remarkable. But I know it's true because He used me. Someone heard Billy Graham one time preach a message, and we're not being critical of him. I'm just saying that he did a great job, had a great orator, and somebody coming out of the stadium said, "What a message. What a sermon." And then when the old gentleman got through years before that, I mean, preaching, you know, of the old men like Billy Sunday and some of these great men. When he got through preaching, said, if you come out the tabernacle, said, you know, a man like Spurgeon or somebody preaching, they'd say, what a Savior.
Amen.
There is a difference in the message.
Yep.
Someone said, my pastor always has something fresh from the Word of God.
Amen.
That's good and bad. Today's crowd, we like to lie to ourselves about ourselves. We don't really want to know the real preaching.
Yep.
Amos and Elijah and Isaiah day, it was recorded that men said, prophesy unto us smooth things. And that's the way it was like in the Old Testament day. Modern day preachers search for popularity. They ain't not really interested. Really, all they're interested in is the crowd being on television. Now, I'm not making fun. I'm just trying to tell you that the modern day is like that. But a man of God that stands here week after week, day after day, you just can't do without him.
Amen.
Nathan brought down the sword to David's house because sometimes the message is very difficult to preach. And let me say this to you. Spurgeon said, he who beats the air, brawls and rages and stomps means nothing. I know he's right.
Yes, sir.
Sheep is totally dependent on the shepherd.
Amen.
We talked about that all week last week. The business of the preacher is to fill the pulpit, not the pews. Now, I could preach here for a while, but I ain't gonna do it. Let me just say this to you. It's sheep produce sheep.
Amen.
And you need to get busy seeing to it that the church has the people of God in it that satisfies the Lord. Just get them in there.
Amen.
Nowhere in the New Testament is size of the crowd. I've been criticized in my youth, really. If you don't have a crowd, we had always... Well, I never did stay there very long, but if you stay there 6 months or stay there 3 years and you leave there and you've got about 35 or 40 people, people have been critical of me. And they said, the size of the crowd tells you what kind of man you are. You can't believe that.
Right.
Let me just say this to you. God speaks through the man of God, and everybody that man of God, God can help through that man of God, he will be able to help. Other than that, they won't be able to get help.
That's right.
Some told me my preaching proved myself and my abilities and everything. But they talked about their preacher, said he's a good mixer. Said the crowd speaks well of him, and that's what this particular fellow's told me. He said if the crowd gets angry at you because of what you preach, that's not telling you that you're God's man. Well, you're going to preach the word of God. Sometimes you're going to sit sidetracked with them.
Sure.
It's not our business to make the message acceptable. But to make the message available,
Amen.
We need to understand what God's man has to do from week to week.
Yes, sir.
We are not there to make men like. What the word says, but really to make sure that they get the word.
Amen.
Make sure that they hear the word of God.
Yes,
sir. John didn't preach for the Jews in the synagogue. Rather, he called them out from the wilderness. He stood there and preached repentance. And I'll tell you what, I'm grateful to God for the message that was left behind us with John.
Amen.
Jesus said about him, said, what come ye out to see?
Yep.
A reed shaking in the wind? Said, was you looking for, hey, maybe they were looking for a bundle of pliable, subjective, to the wind, anything that a bow.
And
when you got a man of God, he's going to stand with the Lord.
Amen.
And that's the important thing. When Jesus was asked about John, Herod tried to get him to perform a miracle in his presence. And you know that Jesus, because John's head was beheaded, never answered him a word.
That's right.
Oh, I want to thank God for men like John. Jesus said no greater man ever lived than John the Baptist.
Amen.
The character of men of God. They are different too. I know they try to be as much like the people as they possibly can. A shepherd always tries to, and I can't get off on that, but he always tries to help the sheep, be there for the sheep, become almost like the sheep.
Yep.
And the sacred privilege is a responsibility. Thank God when the veil is drawn back, God speaks through the man of God. He removes all the barriers men and women face to face with God when they're preaching the word of God. I'm telling you, the hearers are going to stand before the Lord for what they heard. Well, I think about this. The hearers will forgive our mannerisms, our poorness of presentation. The authentic touch of God has got to be in the preaching of the word of God. The touch. And I'm afraid that a lot of times, I preached on David one time, and I preached on the things that David lost. And the thing that he lost most of all, he got it back, Psalm 51, was the touch of God. God's touch on his life. Oh, how we need that in our own life.
Amen.
When a man's got the touch of God on him in his life, they can see some deep, subduing sense of eternal things in us.
Amen.
Who? God's men. Are they? They are holy men of old, the Bible said. Moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Men that are pure. Men that are holy. Without blemish. Effective preachers are not learned or eloquent. Effective preachers have character.
Amen.
It speaks louder than words.
Amen.
It's conduct that says to the people as they live their life what they are. Thank God for the servants of the Lord, the called men of God.
Amen.
Oh, I want to bless the Lord for it. A church is not likely to rise above its pastor.
Right.
I had to deal with that years ago in my life. And I want to say to you that it's a real blessing to be able to have someone that watches after your soul. Andrew Murray said, listen to this, the first duty of every man of God is to beg of God very humbly. That's all he wants done in the hearers that are listening to him. So first of all, you've got to fully get to God yourself, and then truly God will get to them. The Lord can help us. He can really help us. God makes the man. Man makes the ministry. The Lord's got his hand upon his men to love. The Lord wants his people to get love. That's why, let me just step over the boundary here and say this. That's why God chose David over Saul. David was a man after God's own heart, despite whatever you heard about him. Remember that when God talked about him in the New Testament and said what he wanted to say about him, that's all God said about him. And the reason is because the other things that David did were all forgiven. Now, let me just say this to you. You don't want to do anything that's against the Lord, but you do want to follow the Lord in every aspect of what God does. Preacher loves the lost and the saved. You preach to them. Gehazi went at Elisha's command to resurrect the dead. He took the prophet's staff with him, but no miracle happened. A staff was in the wrong hand with no power. Let me just say that God answers the call and helps us if we'll just sacrifice and get to him. Alexander White, I read a lot of books. I told people back on years ago, I said, I read a lot of books, but I make my own butter. But Alexander White told a group of young preachers, a congregation is awaiting you. He's talking to young men of God. To be made by you after you are made by him.
Amen.
The call, the man of God. Oh my. You can't pretend. This thing is got to be real. It's got, for sure, you just don't choose the ministry. The ministry is of a calling from God. God has to initiate. If God don't call that man will fuzz out.
That's right.
Now, I want to say this. A man may pretend, but look at this. Here, Dr. Clarence McCartney wrote this. He said, the better the man, the better the preacher. When he kneels by the bed of a dying, or when mounts the pulpit steps, every self-denial he has made, every Christian forbearance he has shown, every resistance to sin and temptation will come back to him, will help him, strengthen him, his arm, and give conviction to his voice. Likewise, every evasion of duty, every indulgence of self, every compromise with evil, Every unworthy thought, word, or deed will be there at the head of the pulpit steps to meet him, the minister of Christ, on Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
Now watch this. I said this to you, indulging in things of the self and all evil in life. He said to take the light out of his eyes, take the power from his blow, take the ring from his voice, and joy from his heart. I don't regret a bit in this world having read behind men.
Amen.
But I want to say this to you. As God has given us direction, I know that that's the way I feel. But I know that I don't have a lot of years left. And I want to do everything that I possibly can do to continue. And I'm going to preach as long as I can.
Amen.
But this thing of the physical really affects you. And I appreciate the Lord blessing the young men that he's raised up. I really thank the Lord for them. Because you're going to get older, and you're going to get older. We're going to pass away. We're going to be gone. But I want to finish up my life right.
Amen.
I don't know of anything I want to do more than to finish right. Right now, the Lord put us back in South Carolina, and we're tending. We've been there for almost 10 years helping my wife's mother, and she passed away last year. And I feel like that the Lord had me there for a purpose. I really believe, I preached this years ago at Brother Henderson's. I made the statement at Brother Henderson's that one day I'll preach my final message. And somehow or another, God will put me in the place where I'll have my final message. I don't know exactly what that'll be. Stand it below, preach this. Sure did. He come back to that church and preach that message. Boy, that's a great message. You need to see if you can find it and hear it. And I want to bless the Lord for his ministry. I loved him. Going to this meeting this week, it's just been heartbreaking somewhat. And we just always depended upon him. And most of the week, Brother Sammy's not been able to be there. And so it's been a very unusual meeting. But I thank the Lord. Brother Randy, he told me, he said, if you have problem remembering things and you feel like it, he said, don't worry about that.
Right.
He said, just say what's on your heart.
Amen. That's right.
And he told me before I left, he said, I don't care if I have to send people after you. I'm going to send somebody after you till you're gone.
Amen.
And said, if I have to, I'll tote you up here.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, my back's giving me a lot of problem, and I hate to sit there when people stand and singing. But I can't stand long. But I'm so grateful to God that he let me hear the call.
Amen.
I thank the Lord he put the character in my heart. And I believe with all of my heart, if, you know, it's like I told my wife, I said, if preacher calls, I said, we're going to Kentucky.
Amen.
I waited. I'm going to make sure it's God's will.
Sure.
And I just love you people. I love your pastor. I loved Brother Hall that was here. And this place speaks. In fact, I rode down this road here this morning. I went over that hill. Good night. I never seen nothing like that. I mean, see, this is mountain country. I love it.
Amen.
And it's different. I was born down in the flatlands and lived down in the flatlands. But I appreciate everything that God has done. Let me meet the men that God has let me meet.
Yes, sir.
Some of the greatest men that ever walked in shoe leather.
Amen.
I sit under them to hear the word of God. And I'm so grateful for it. Preacher, I thank you for letting me come. I appreciate this good day that we're going to have together.
Amen.
And it looks like to me he better be thankful for another chance to preach. He ain't preached in a while. But we love him and love you folks. Appreciate you so much. Lord, we thank you for the day. We ask you that you touch our hearts and help us to realize that no man can take this honor unto himself. And we're not talking merely about preachers, but about the whole mission work of this Bible, about the priest and the kindred. Touch the hearts of the people. Help us to realize, Lord, that you've been looking after us right here at Island Ford. You looked after the people of God when you sent Brother Hall. And I know there's other preachers back before him. And I'm so grateful for all of them. But I'm thankful that you sent Brother Shepherd here. And I pray that you bless his ministry here. Touch the hearts of the people. Help the people. Those that are sick and afflicted that couldn't be here. Touch them, I pray. And help this message to help our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.